Welcome to episode 75 of the Pickup Podcast. It's your boy Marcus here with co-host Reggie, guest Keyshawn back in the building. And we're going to get that Sixers-Hawks talk, playoff P in the Clips back, KD and the Nets going down, and what the Bucks need to do to make the finals. Stick with us. We'll be back. Yeah. All right, okay. Okay, all right. Big Sean E, 3E.
How we doing?
You know what you're here for, man. So your boys this year finally advanced past the second round. Coincidentally, it just happened to be your first year without Doc Rivers. Your boy Doc Rivers is over. Got the one seed in Philly. My man is struggling to hold 20-point leads against Trae Young. What you got to say about it, man? That seems like you called it a mile away, didn't you?
Look, I told niggas months ago, and I told them when the playoffs start, Doc Rivers makes the worst adjustments out of any NBA coach that I've seen. Mm. The Hawks game, the Hawks last game.
Game six.
Hawks went on a little run. I think it was like a 15-5 run or something like that. And the reason why the Sixers couldn't do anything, they just weren't hitting shots. You know, they didn't, you know, they needed to play some defense, but they were shooting, nothing was going in. So Doc Rivers.
Nasty workout in Simmons.
Yeah. He subs in Ben Simmons.
Hey, you know it's bad. Ben Simmons is supposed to be a franchise max player. And you got to sub your boy out on offense in the last 2 minutes of the game and have him only subbed in for defense because you can't trust the boy to hit two free throws.
Come on, man. Who's starting point guard is there? Because it damn sure ain't mine.
I know Reggie. I think Reggie's the one that called for keeping Embiid over Simmons.
Say keep Simmons over Embiid.
That's the only way the Sixers get better. You can't keep Simmons.
I was actually on the wrong side of things. I said to keep Simmons.
I'm pretty sure last podcast that we had, we talked about the spacing.
We did.
And how bad Ben Simmons like ruins it, because since he can't shoot, he has to clog the paint with the best player on the team. You know, and that's where he eats in the paint. So I'm like, what are you here for? And people always say, well, he facilitates. He gets rebounds and shit like that. I mean, Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris get rebounds. I mean, if you really want, Seth could facilitate for you. So what do you really need Ben Simmons for?
Hey, man, Seth is playing out of his mind right now. This isn't really his norm, but he stepped up into this role, you know, at least for the last five games or so. But I'm going to ask Reggie real quick. Reggie, since you reminded us you were on the opposite side, has your mind been changed any due to recent developments?
Oh, well, I mean, absolutely. At this point, there's a clear-cut fucking step above in talent between the two. You definitely keep Embiid over Simmons. But I also think Simmons is being mismanaged.
Another Doc issue?
Probably. I don't know, man. I can't just blame it on Doc, because Simmons has had these same issues before Doc was there. But it's now been amplified with the substitutions. The confidence isn't there. We're on the way to the conference finals, and this man can't touch a fourth quarter. You know, he can't touch the basketball in the fourth quarter. I don't think that's a cause for concern against his talent. I think that's a cause of concern against everybody in the organization and what they view of him.
I mean, that's kind of nasty right there. You know, you got your number one guy that can't stay in. You know, I think he's taken, what, three shot attempts in the fourth quarter in the last three games total? Something of that nature?
Something of that nature, and that's just
– it's four on top off.
Exactly. And then the free throw disadvantage is something, too, where, like, I can see that being some legitimate reason to pull in and out. But it also doesn't help someone to get better in live situations. when you're just like, nah, fuck it. We're not even going to give them a chance to send your ass to the free throw line. Like, fuck that. Like, even Giannis, like, imagine if they pulled Giannis out in those situations. Because they were shooting almost the same percentage over the course of their last series together. You know, so it's like, it's just one of those things where I feel like they could do a little bit better of managing him and his confidence, but also he's got to just buckle up and be a better offensive player because he can facilitate. He cannot shoot whatsoever.
When he's not involved in the offense, when he's just not doing anything, it's not even like he's facilitating and then hanging back. Like, no, he will stand. He will stand. He might set a screen, but there are possessions he legitimately does not touch the basketball, and it's kind of mind-boggling because he's supposed to be, like I said, a franchise guy. You just don't see that too often.
Yeah, I think at this point you got to get him out of there. And you remember when we first started chiming in on who do you keep, I think you and Ant mentioned that there's probably some, like, who's the real number one in the locker room? Who feels that they're that guy? And you both said Embiid, and at this point it's got to be, like, how does the locker room view Ben Simmons? Like, is this a situation that can't even be handled? Like, are they just keeping it together? Or is this some shit that's, like, really bad inside and out? Because he's obviously not performing well. What if the team's not behind him?
I think aggravates that, you know, it's one of those.
Absolutely.
When they were winning, you know, getting the number one seed, and nobody was really having too much conversation about it, you know. Then you get to the playoffs, and then all the stuff that it becomes apparent over a 7-game series. It's like, wow, folks, you know, you're locking in on him, you know, during game planning. You know, he's having not even terrible games, you know what I'm saying? But it's just not spectacular. And when you're playing, you know, teams where other players are going off, you know, you got Trae Young out here having a coming out party for his first playoffs. You need someone kind of on the other side to balance that, to match that. And that's kind of hard to put that on Embiid, who plays primarily inside the paint with, you know, a couple trail threes here and there. It's just hard to match that same energy. So I think, you know, Steph Curry, like I said, he's been the guy that's kind of stepped up in that role for this series ever since really the last game of the Wizards series where he dropped 30. But, yeah, I don't think he's – as reliable as you think. I think he's kind of one of those guys where he's hot right now, but he can drop it anytime.
So absolutely.
I just need to see Ben Simmons do more. I need to see what everyone who's a fan of him has been telling me he's capable of doing. Because he's not even playing, like, overly fantastic defense either.
Right. And it's crazy because, like, it seems like I've seen him play better over the course of his first 2 years than it looks like how he's playing over the course of his past 6 months. Like, it's just shoddy all the way around. The defense isn't as great as it seems to be. And we were talking about that earlier, how we both felt like he should have been the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, and it's...
And that has just gone out the window.
He's not proving it right now, but you know what?
Neither did Rudy Gobert.
Man, like, it's not like I said on Twitter, I don't think it's 100% his fault. It's just one of those situations where, you know, you got Rudy Gobert getting switched on and hunted by Reggie Jackson. He's kind of left on an island, per se, you know. And I don't think that's necessarily fair to him because, you know, at the end of the day, he's still a center. And you got him on the three-point line on an island with Reggie Jackson, who's hunting him for food.
Yes, sir.
And that motherfucker was starving.
It's embarrassing to see it happen over and over again with no adjustment. Like, okay, it happens, like, you get him one or, you know, once or twice, and like, all right, man, Reggie Jackson, get him. He goes back for that third or fourth time to the well, and he's still getting by. It's like, yeah, man, I need you, Quinn Snyder, to say, look, stop switching everything. We're going to have to fight through. We're going to have to hedge. We got to do something, man.
You can't keep fucking putting me out here.
I don't know what he thought was going to change. It was at least 5 or 6 possessions
in the almost same consecutively.
Gaslander, turn it up.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad
smoking
that
on that jazz pack.
Yes, I have to watch Ghost of Karl Malone come down and accept the Larry O'Brien trophy with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. Like, I like Donovan Mitchell, but all the rest of them niggas, no. If I had to see Joe Ingles in the finals, man, I don't know what I'd do with myself.
You don't fuck with Jordan Clarkson?
On another team.
Let's be real. I don't. We don't fuck with Jordan Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson. What Jordan Clarkson do to you?
First half and finished with 21 points.
It's called defense, baby.
Yeah, Terrence Mann got in that. Okay. Anyways. All right, man. While we're on the subject, man, so we on the Clippers, right? Paul George, I said on Twitter, and a lot of Clippers fans got their panties in a wad. I said, I want to see Paul George have a complete series without dropping any games. I feel that was a valid statement, even though some folks want to point out to me the last four games of the series, he averaged 31 on like 50% shooting, like 44% from three or something of the sort. But, nigga, I said the whole series, not the last four. So I just want to see, like, today, I don't have no problem with the game he played today. Big dog shit. He didn't get no help from Morris today, you know? Morris has been that sneaky third guy that's actually been contributing a lot the last four games in Utah. But he didn't get that help from him today. Terrence Mann was not bad, but just quiet, you know, real selective. Showed up on defense here and there, but it's hard when you got Devin Booker on the other side, you know?
So I'm going to put it to you like this, Mark. I mean, we talked about it on Twitter. Yeah. I even conceded. I said, no, you're right. We do need to see that every day. However, I will say, not in, like, your argument, a lot of other niggas were disregarding everything else that Paul did in those four games. I'm like, okay, man, like, look, if you want him to do more, that's fine. But let's not just sit here and ignore what he did in the last four. You know what I mean? And I think that niggas just seen your tweet and just like, oh, no, he did, you know. What do you mean? What do you mean you want more? They just got offended. Because I did see a lot of tweets that was like, damn, Paul George didn't really do anything, like, at all. And I was like, all right, man, let's calm down.
Yeah, Sean's a better man than me. I'm not giving retards on Twitter that kind of benefit of the doubt.
Look, I was like, come on, man. Like, but, you know, but I'm not going to lie. Like, the Clippers fandom, outside of me, Justin, probably like three more people, they do not know basketball at all. I'm going to be honest with you.
I mean, they chose the Clippers over the Lakers, and they're right.
Like, these niggas are the same. Like, these are the same niggas who sat there and argued for days at a time that Blake Griffin was the face of the franchise back when we was at Lob City. And I said, you know, I was like, this is not it. Blake Griffin is not that guy.
You're not that guy, pal.
But, you know, like I said, they don't know basketball. So, you know, they just cling on to any little thing and they get offended by a lot of shit.
So, okay, put it this way. Like, so Paul George, I'm not asking him to be 50, 40, 90 every single night, right? No, that's not realistic. I just want to be aggressive. I want to see him hit open shots. I want to see him be able to create shots for himself and for others, which he's actually been doing a lot better at the creating for others since he's been really the primary ball handler ever since Pat Bev got benched because Luka was lighting that ass up in the first round. Paul George really took over, you know, like more so because he already like kind of increased that throughout this season anyways, but he really took over more so after like what game two or game three, the first series of being a primary ball handler. He's been really good at distributing. He's stepped up his defense again because his defense was kind of slack for a little minute, but this is a two-way player that I think that everyone said Paul George is supposed to be. And that's my thing is like, he's supposed to be this. Like, we shouldn't be ecstatic that he's having a 28-10-8 game. Like, that's what that niggas is supposed to do. Like, and I just want to see him do it. You know, if it's a six-game series, I just want to see him do it for six games. And, like, your best player should not have to be a question of, oh, damn, is he going to show up today? I don't know. Let's see.
I mean, you're right, though. You're right. Because that shit's annoying. Like, when Kawhi went down, everybody was like, well, damn, can Paul lead them? And, you know, this was in 2012. We'd be like, yeah, Paul got them. But the way he's been, you know, the way he's been playing, everybody is questioning, like, oh, you know, I don't know, maybe. Maybe he can tap back to that the old PG-13. So, now I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
I don't know. Is Paul really that guy? Like, let's be real here. I think we are blessed to see a 28-10-8 game because that is the peak of Paul George Mountain, you know?
Paul George can give you a 40-piece when he wants to, man. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, and so can fucking Joe Ingles. Like, I don't – I'm saying, like, realistically, I think we're right on par for Paul George fandom. This is it. He's playing at his best basketball when it matters. Let's just leave it at that. He is doing what is needed of him, and he isn't falling and succumbing to the playoff key statistics of the last few years. So, I mean, I'll give him that. But this is doing no more than what is expected and possibly, like, maybe 20% more. Because I don't think he's a 28-10-8 give-it-to-you guy. I think this is, like, a 28-5, like, that's my true threshold.
Well, I mean, as far as how I'm seeing him, you know, especially being a, like I said, being the basically the primary ball handler, like you say, like the game six, Terrence Mann came in and Paul George was the main one feeding him. You know what I'm saying? He went for 39 points. Paul George went for 28, and Paul George, you know, was the one that was setting the offense, letting Terrence Mann get open off a screen.
Absolutely. I do not discount that. But that's not something that, like, you want to bet on.
Paul George gets to that short corner. When he gets – he has that move, he goes from the elbow to the short corner. And I don't know if that's a set play or if that's just where he likes to get to. But he can get from there. He literally can do everything. The cross-court passes, the fadeaway. He can square up, go baseline. You know what I'm saying? Like, back it up to the three-point line and pick and roll. Like, he gets a lot of shit done once he gets to that spot. And he's just one of those guys that I feel like, yes, given the opportunity, I think that's what he should be doing every game.
You think highly of Paul.
I do think highly of Paul. Paul George should be one, like, if not the top three small forward shooting guards in the league. Should be.
Should be is a hell of a that's a hell of a word though, you know what I'm saying? Should
he just has a confidence problem. He has a terrible confidence problem. We saw with OKC. Like, nigga lost all confidence and we really were like, damn, you know, is he even half the player he was before? And then he played with Russ
that. When he played with Russ, he was an MVP candidate. Wasn't he runner up that year?
He was. Now guess what happened in the playoffs?
The nigga was hooping. I expect that. The nigga has the talent to do it. He's got the talent to do it. That's what I don't understand. Like, it's, and we're talking about, like, I'm not just saying this, like, okay, he had a fluke game. Like, I'm getting on for a fluke game. Like, no. We're talking for the last four seasons in the first round of this year. I'll concede that game two wasn't as bad as it really was because he did have a good fourth quarter. But for the first two games of the last series and two games, basically every series from 2017 to now, you're going to know, like, Paul George is going to straight up blow this game. Like, straight up. Paul George is going to shoot 30%. He's going to have six turnovers. He's going to get cooked on defense. So one combination of two of those three things is going to happen in the same game twice a series. And then we start calling playoff P, pandemic P, whatever, you know, way off P. Like, that's like,
hey, man, that's the one.
I don't think I'm wrong to say, look, I just want to see the entire series. And I commend him for putting four together in a row to close that shit out. Why do I commend him? That's the first time I've seen it in five fucking years.
It's not enough.
And only two of those games were without Kawhi. So that's the other reason I say that. He did the first, you know, couple games of that stretch. You know, Kawhi was the one going crazy. Paul George wasn't fucking it up.
Doing what was needed of him.
But then he went crazy himself in game five. And I give him all the, cause like I said, we're talking about confidence or whatever. That does wonders for your confidence. You know, no one necessarily knows what to expect from you. You're the only guy down there. And not the only guy, but you're the only superstar. They're relying on you. So you drop a 37-piece. You go out and you get a clutch game five win. Push the series to the brink. when y'all were down 0-2. Like, that's some shit. Like, I can fuck with that. That's what I expect from him. On the flip side, you go to the other series that just ended, right? The Nets and the Bucks. Same shit with KD. Like, not to say that Kevin Durant and Paul George are the same player, but as far as, like, superstar level, like, expectations, I kind of put them up there. Like,
Kevin, oh my God.
With Kyrie hurt, Harden coming back off a fucking hamstring on one leg, and he went out and gave the fucking game of his life game 5.
Yeah, but we're talking about the best player in the world.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So Kyrie and Harden basically gave him the opportunity to show, look, I am that guy.
Pow.
He is that guy. But what I'm saying is that, like, I think Paul George is in that same – now, he's not, like I said, not the same, but Paul George should be in that same – he's got the talent to do literally everything Kevin Durant does. He has the talent for it. He has the size for it. He can do it on any given day. He just doesn't do it all the time. And I think he should be able to.
Do you think Jimmy Butler is better than Paul George?
I think Jimmy Butler is more
consistent. Yes, sir.
I think Jimmy Butler is more consistent at doing what he's supposed to do than Paul.
All right. I feel you on that.
Talent is better.
Me personally, I can semi-agree with that because I think they're almost one and the same. But I think that you're exactly right. Jimmy Butler is a far more consistent, high-level caliber player on both sides of the ball. With that being said, on Jimmy Butler's best night, I would never compare him to Kevin fucking Durant. So I don't even know what we're talking about.
On Paul George's best night, I think he's up there with literally anybody. Like I said, we saw a young Paul George, you know, with Roy Hibbert and them push peak LeBron James to, you know, 7 games.
That was like in 2014.
We're a couple knees past that. He's gone on, you know, like I said, he had a MVP caliber season. He had another one in Indiana that I think he didn't get as much love for the MVP as I think he should have gotten the year that the Patriots got the 1 seed or the 2 seed. I think he should have got some a little more love for MVP in that regard, but I don't think he should have won, but, you know, at least been, like, up there.
Didn't he get smoked out of the water by Brooklyn?
I would say, look, on any given night, I can be the best player on the court, like, period.
I just don't see it. Maybe, like, I'll need to see what you were asking for, that whole series.
Straight. I think Kawhi is the same type of player, and Kawhi does it. That's why it pisses me off, because it's not like, oh, you can't expect niggas to do it every night. Nigga, Kawhi does it. He's the same type player.
I think Kawhi is a league above Paul George. And that's why he does it every night. Because Paul George is not that guy.
No, that's like, fair. But
You're saying it without saying it.
But in Marcus's argument, he's saying that Paul George has all of the talents and intangibles to be that player. Because we've seen it before.
Several times. And then he just...
It's not like his claims are, like, baseless. It's not like, oh, no, Paul George is that guy. And we don't have, you know, evidence to back it up. We've seen it. We've seen him do it. It just, why doesn't he do it consistently?
Yeah, but consistency is a hell of a factor in stardom. You know what I'm saying? When your favorite musician isn't consistent, what happens to their career? They're not as powerful. They're not as much of a factor. It's almost the same situation. When you're not consistent, you don't have that same level of fear that you put into your opponents. You don't have that same level of superstardom.
Okay, let me walk back.
Be a superstar on some nights, sure. Regular. But he is not a consistent, bona fide level. You're comparing him to top 5 players in the game right now. He's not that.
For season, I can put him up there.
As a top 5 basketball player, I do not think so.
No, I'm saying top 5. Okay, so, like, when he's playing at his peak, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, numbers-wise, he's kind of – it's kind of hard to do that when you're playing with someone like Kawhi.
Right. I mean, so, I understand that.
And so, and obviously he's not, and he hasn't been in exactly the same role as a Luka or a Trae Young or someone else or LeBron that's literally dominating the ball. The whole offense is running through them. So
I guess let me ask you this. In a scenario where Paul George was in his own true number one team, and he was the number one player the ball went through on that team, what do you think the success level would be on his end?
Man, that was
not him. For the team success, but I mean for his true peak wise.
I'm saying in Oklahoma City, that was the same shit. He was the number one. Like, Russ deferred to him.
I can't agree there.
Coming off his MVP season, Russ definitely deferred to Paul George when it came to scoring.
Russ handles too much of the load for me to even consider that scenario. I don't think Paul George has been in a situation where he's been the true number one since he peaked out of Indiana. And even then, he was coming into his own right, and I don't think he definitely wasn't fucking top 10 players in the NBA.
Man, I don't know. I just think there's no reason why he shouldn't be. And especially after, because, like, for me, when I saw him in Oklahoma City, I was like, okay, this nigga is here. I thought he was going to have a huge setback after that injury that he had, you know, with Team USA.
Right.
He came back, and he was looking kind of slow, you know, and I was like, that usually happens when you have a traumatic, you know, injury like that. So I was like, damn, I don't know if this nigga still got it. No, this nigga goes to Oklahoma City. Like I said, damn near wins MVP if it's not for James Harden going absolutely stupid, you know? So I'm like, he's there. He has it. Like, I can't say that he doesn't have it. I've seen it. He has it. He's just not doing it. And that's what's frustrating. It's like, okay, like, you have it, and you're not, like, that far off. Like, you're not being used as much. It's not running through you as much. But at the same time, like, when the time is called upon where you are needed, like, I need you to show up. And, like, the last four games, like, to Sean's credit, he did show up. And so I say, okay, cool. Do that again.
Well, I guess we'll see if Paul can bring it back downtown on Tuesday for game two.
Like, because if Paul George is not the issue and they lose without Chris Paul, fuck it, man. They lost without, you know, you can just say they needed Kawhi. You should not have a max player like Paul George out here being literally the reason that you lose. Like, your best player or second best player should not be the reason that you lost, like he has been at least in two of the last 3 years. I don't think he was the reason last year. He just played really shitty in the second round against the Nuggets. I don't think he was the
reason. He couldn't hit shit that series.
I mean, he wasn't the sole reason, so I'm not even putting him on that. I do think he was the reason that they lost in Oklahoma City the year they had Melo. I do think he was the reason they lost. That nigga was ass. So, what was that, 2017, I think, when Donovan Mitchell, or 2018? Something like that, where Donovan Mitchell put him out and Joe Ingles? Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's just one of those things where I think someone like Paul George, you're going to depend on him, and I think he has the capability. I think Paul George can win this series if, you know, Devin Booker doesn't go for 40 a game. Because it's literally going to take Devin Booker going 40 for them to keep up with. Because, like, they didn't play a bad game today. Like, y'all watched the game today?
I did.
Yeah. I don't think they played a bad game at all on the offensive end. Defensively, I don't think they played terribly.
Yeah. They didn't rebound terribly well,
but they kept Ayton, you know, somewhat in check off the boards. And that was my biggest issue. I was like, yo, if Ayton goes for like 15, 16 rebounds and gets them a whole bunch of extra shots, like, yo, I don't know how they can compete. But, yo, they still held him to 9 rebounds. I mean, 20 points is, you know, kind of in line with what Ayton's been doing with his growth so far. And I think that's an underrated factor, too. Ayton stepping up without Chris Paul on the court. But
they got dissected by campaign is what happened. Motherfucker was out there thriving.
And he really was. But look, that's what I'm saying. Like, teams have depth. Teams have, you know, veterans, and so do the Clippers. And I think if Paul George can just rally around that, because, like, you got to get into the mindset of, I don't think they can do it twice. Do you think campaign can do that twice?
Absolutely. Campaign's been having spotty games like that all playoffs.
I mean, spotty games, but I'm saying, do you think he can do that 4 times and beat you? If Chris Paul doesn't come back?
No, definitely not 4 times, but I definitely think he can give you 2 more of those games this season, or 2 more of those games this series, especially the way they played him. They probably won't let him do it next game because they'll, you know, they know Chris Paul is out for one more game. They'll actually key in on him. But he's not to be denied. He's been coming in off the bench and giving teams buckets throughout the entire playoffs and creating a lot of extra.
Which I'm not mad at, but like I said, like Morris has also been a guy that's been chipping in really well. He didn't show up as well today. I think he actually bounces back. Reggie Jackson seems to be like an all-star now. Like, I think this is his actual role now. So I can depend. I can depend on Paul George to give you another 30 piece and five assists, right? I can depend on that. DeMarcus Cousins came off the bench. Did he even play past like game two of last series?
I don't think he's played since like.
Is what
at I think all
it was regular season? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's played it in the playoffs, and he came in and started giving out handout buckets.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins, Rondo was off the bench coming in, giving niggas, you know, making plays. Luke Kennard bench hits a couple shots. Like I said, like you have the talent. So I think that with Paul George leading them, like, yes, they can win, especially if Chris Paul doesn't play. You just need literally to keep Devin Booker. Like, okay, so they lost by six. Devin Booker scores 30 a game. They can win. You just don't – you can't let him drop 40.
It was one of those games where it's like the Suns were always in control. Even when the Clippers would push for a run and go up 4 or 6 points, the Suns would bounce back. And then it got to that point late in the fourth where the Suns would go up 6. The Clippers would cut it to 2. The Suns would go up 8. The Clippers would cut it to 4. You know, it was a seesaw effect that you really never saw the Clippers winning out without a heavy, heavy run that I didn't see come. I didn't see that they had it in the back end of the fourth quarter. So I don't know, man. They definitely hung in there, but that's a team hanging in there where they're obviously discounted their best player. I understand that. But the Suns are discounted one of their best, if not their best offensive asset outside of Devin Booker. Really one of the best offensive assets on the entire floor because of what he can create. And I just don't think the Suns should have been able to have had that much control over the game, even if you're getting buckets from outlier sources like campaign, you know? Just like you said, teams have depth, and you can't let that depth run wild.
Look, man, I just feel like so in my expectations, I expected the Clippers to either split or take two. I don't expect them to lose two in a row because I think that without Chris Paul, I told Sean this, without Chris Paul, I think that this is the best matchup that the Clippers could have gotten.
Absolutely. Back.
And I think that they have the overall advantage. I feel like the Suns basically stole one with, you know, like you said, extra buckets from campaign, 9 assists from campaign. You know what I'm saying? Ayton's going, you know, 20-9. While Devin Booker is going for 40. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot of shit that has to happen to barely beat the Kawhi-less Clippers. There's a lot of good shit that has to happen at the same time.
Right, but I mean, you also got to look at it from the perspective of the Suns did what they needed to do. So I definitely feel you on that, and I'm very eager to see how the Clippers come out next game because you have to agree here they can't lose two in a row again.
Because just like Sean said, he could have told you at the beginning of the playoffs, Doc Rivers is the worst coach's adjustments in the NBA, or at least in the playoffs. I can counter and say I think Ty Lue might be the best.
And I wouldn't be
bad. At least this playoffs, he's definitely shown that he's not afraid to make a fucking decision, and they've always paid off.
Even back going to when he was with the Cavs, man, he did that.
I don't really care about any of that.
Nah, he doesn't, of course. Why would he care about facts?
I know. Who cares about facts? I can't even fucking read.
Anyways, hopping back over to the East series. So are we all in agreement that we think Kevin Durant's the best player in the league now after what he's shown us?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Come on now.
How many years do you give the Nets to
three.
A window?
Should have fucking won it this year.
Nah. 3 years.
I mean, Kevin Durant's what? 30, what? 4?
34, yep.
Damn.
I mean, how many, like, every nigga's not Bron. Bron can do this
right.
Shit for another 4 years.
But I mean, if they keep that big three together
in overtime, do you see how that man was like getting up off the bench? That boy looked like he was fucking 75 years old.
I mean, he played all 50. He played all 53 minutes in the game, and then he also played 48 minutes last game. I mean, that motherfucker was dogging himself. You know, you get to a point where you run out of gas. You're right. Not everybody is LeBron, but he still came out there and put on two of the best shows ever I've ever seen
in my life. That shot to send it to overtime, one of the craziest shits I've ever seen in my life. Given the stakes of the game, I remember LeBron had a similar shot that actually counted for a three, and I can't remember who it was against.
Wizards.
Huh?
The Wizards.
You were correct. That shit was fire. It actually reminded me of that. But, yeah, I think we're having a completely different conversation if his toe's behind the line. Just one of those things that I think just unfortunate that had to happen that way. But, you know, injuries are a part of the game. A lot of people – so do you guys think that the shortened season contributed to a lot of these injuries? Because I think it's a lot of the same players that normally get hurt anyways.
Yeah, not really.
I mean, I just think it's the, like, the players who are already injury prone, they just, you know, it just made their injuries, you know, a little more apparent.
Yeah.
This is regular for them.
I think Anthony Davis getting hurt, that's not new. James Harden pulling a hammy, that's not new, even for earlier this season. Chris Paul hurt shoulder, that's not new. Kyrie Irving, you know, twisting the ankle because Giannis stepped under him, that's just a freak play, you know. I don't think there's any – to me, I don't feel like there's much because I think a lot of people handle the, like, load management stuff, like, pretty decently. A lot of – I don't think too many guys actually played all 72 games, like, super high minutes. I think there was a lot of minutes management going on throughout the season. But LeBron said he's a doctor and he knows everything about the human body. So, the boy said if there's anybody that knows anything about the human body, it's not the team doctors, nigga, it's me.
That's your boy, though.
Turn it up, though. I don't want to say it sound like an excuse, but I don't think it's an excuse. I think it's a real reason. Like, I think if Anthony Davis is healthy, that obviously you saw what he did last year. But also, when you get Anthony Davis, niggas knew that nigga don't be healthy. So. Hey, is Bam still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, man, so for the Heat, did y'all have a lot of health issues going into the playoffs this year?
Going into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Outside of, what's his fucking name from the Pacers? Oladipo. Outside of him, no. I mean, Jimmy's always hurt because of how he plays. Like, they say he'd be walking around the locker room with like 8 bags of ice on his knees and shit, but there were no like major injuries that were like reported or could have held anybody out. They just got their ass kicked.
And that's another team, you know, that came off a short rest, you know, because they played in the finals with the Lakers. So, not saying that, you know, it's a perfect comparison, but just I just think injuries happen and can't really blame that. It's just part of the game. But that's neither here nor there. I think KD's finally cemented. I've thought KD was the best player in the league at least like 4 of the last 6 seasons, not including the seasons obviously he was injured. And then the one season where I thought Bron actually was like God. So
I don't know. You got to sneak one of Steph's seasons in there too,
huh?
Nah.
And I'll say for the last 7, because I got to give 2016 to Steph. Steph
yeah.
Literally Jesus Christ. But like,
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And 2018 LeBron, that was something crazy. Even though they lost the finals, even though that was a year KD, you know, hit the shot on them. I think they got swept that year. Like, what LeBron did getting that team to the finals when they should have been out in the first round, yeah, I give him all the props on that. But I think KD, I don't think there should be any question anymore that I think he's top dog right now, and it's okay for Bron to still be like top two, top three, right?
No, yeah. I mean, most people don't agree with you. They either hate KD or they're just, you know, stuck up Bron's ass.
Hey, you know what? That's a very astute observation. Most of my Twitter followers.
Yeah, because
you already know me. Yeah, you already know what we talk, what we call your Twitter followers. So.
Bro, you got the worst niggas. Like, I don't know what you did to accumulate them followers, bro. But they're terrible.
A lot of the people that y'all be quoting talking about my followers, I don't actually follow them. That's just someone that I am interacting with. But yeah, man, I don't know. I think I try to be fair most times.
Sometimes. No, all honesty, Mark, the main problem with your followers when they talk sports, they just talk and they just forget anything that happened in the past 2 years when it comes to football and basketball.
2 years? Nigga, 2 days.
I
told you sports takes last 2 days nowadays. And I think I largely blame First Take for that.
Yeah.
On ESPN every single day telling you the same shit every single day. And then by the end of the week, they could flip the script and say some shit different than what they said on Monday. But they got to keep saying, you know, shit for 5 days a week. So they're going to keep saying shit. I honestly blame them for that. So. But it is what it is, man. You know. Niggas going to learn, you know, they're going to learn one day. You know, if you're going to argue with me, at least bring facts. At least bring stats. I respect that. It's not PFF. We don't fuck with PFF.
We do not fuck. PFF is not a reliable source here. But I mean, it's never been.
We got the Bucks going to the conference finals against the winner of tonight's game. Who y'all got winning tonight's game?
We got the Sixers.
Sixers?
Yeah.
Reggie? Ooh, is Reggie still here?
Nah, Reggie left.
Reggie left? Okay, I thought he might leave. He said he had to get off early. Bam, who you think, Sixers or Hawks? You a Hawks fan?
I'm not a Hawks fan. Don't do that. I am the Nine, though.
You know you semi-Atlanta.
I've got Atlanta tendencies. I lean to Atlanta. I give you that. I mean, I want Atlanta to win. I don't care because I feel like the Bucks are going to be either of them next round, so it doesn't really matter to me.
So the Bucks, you think it's... Either of them are just food.
I mean, I think Atlanta might have a better chance because I feel like Embiid's knee is just going to give out at some point, dude. A 280-pound man playing on a torn meniscus every night.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. I actually kind of forgot that really was his diagnosis.
Yeah, like he wasn't strained. That shit was straight up torn. Like, yeah, his season, his career might end if he keeps doing this. He's too big for that shit.
Yeah, he needs to. See, that's the thing, though. You know, when it comes to this, I personally think the Sixers have a better chance of beating the Bucks. But Embiid, like, all that stress on Embiid is not going to be good. He's going to have to sit out at least a game or two without, like, you know, his knee coming off.
And they can't afford to have him sit out a game.
But yeah, so that's like...
Ben Simmons cannot, under any circumstance, be your best player.
Well, there's Steph Curry and Tobias Harris.
They cannot, under any circumstance, be your best player either. So...
Hey, I ain't gonna argue with you there. You were correct. But I do think, I mean, the Bucks. It just might be their time, man. Get Giannis in the finals. They slayed the giant, you know, with KD and Kyrie and Harden. So, I mean, it's like, what's next, right? You know, it can't be any harder than that.
I don't know, bro. I don't think they can beat the Suns. I don't know how the Clippers will be.
I don't think they can beat either team in the West.
Really?
I think they might be able to take LA without Kawhi because I just don't trust Paul George. But Chris Paul would definitely be back by the finals if they make it, and I don't think they can beat the Suns.
Yeah. I mean, who's going to check Devin Booker?
Who's going to check Devin Booker?
Yeah.
Probably Middleton. Not that anyone's going to stop him per se, but Chris Middleton is capable.
He's not a bad defender.
He still get lit up for 35 a game.
Chill out.
That's disrespectful. There's no disrespect to him, but I mean, like, we've seen it. Devin Booker has been putting on a show all playoffs, and every series he gets better.
Honestly. And
that's why I really didn't want to see the Suns, because every series he just plays way better than the one before. I'm like, okay, I don't want to see him. Do you have Chris Paul facilitating? Mikal Bridges, I don't know. Sometimes he's like the third or second best option on the team. And then you got Ayton that's grabbing every board.
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know, because this is their first time in the playoffs. This is, it's very hard for a team's first go around. You just go straight through and get to the finals, right? You got Chris in your veteran leader of the team is Chris Paul, a nigga that's never been to the finals. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's from that perspective, just from an experience level. I mean, Chris Paul is like, what, 35 years old, 36? Like, Chris Paul is experienced, but as far as playoff experience, championship experience, normally you got to have, a couple more years on you. But to that same effect, all those guys that are like that are out, I think Kawhi is the only one left that really truly has experience on a championship level of, and he's not playing right now. And he might not play for the rest of the playoffs, depending on the severity of that, knee sprain.
So you're just going to sit here and disrespect Daniel Green like that?
Sheesh!
Messed up, bro.
Hey, man.
Because he played for UNC, and you're a hater.
Facts. I don't have any problem admitting that.
Again.
Been a UNC hater.
Again, better man than me.
But, yeah. Anyways, appreciate y'all boys following through, participating in the conversation, getting the takes out there. Nasty work. Ben Simmons, you stink. Doc Rivers, you stink. Quinn Snyder, you stink, even though you went to Duke. Nasty work for the three of y'all, the way that y'all been closing out your series. Shout out Trae Young.
Hey, we not letting what's his name for the Bucks.
Ooh, no. Joe Harris, you stink. Nasty work on your part. you correct. Thank you.
Budenholzer, you stink too. Like you ain't off the hook, even though y'all won.
Sheesh. Yeah, man, we out.
Peace.